Amen. A soldier in the army. And sometimes soldiers have to do things that are not pleasant and fun, and they have to deal with things that are not always pleasant and fun. And there is a lot of correction and instruction in righteousness that has to take place with the soldiers in the Lord's army. And there is work that has to be done, and reproving, rebuking, exposing the errors that are out there, exposing the dangerous things that are out there that lurk about, and the devil always masking himself in a number of different ways. And we are going to talk about one of those ways today. Unfortunately, we're back on Bethel and the charismatic nut jobs over there that are possessed by devils. I believe they are doing the work of the devil. And I believe that it is a very dangerous cult. You know, I remember a girl, a young lady that had graduated high school in the town that I pastor in Northfield. And she was a sweet young lady, you know, seemed to love the Lord. She wasn't a member of our church or anything to do with me, but I just saw her at the coffee shop and the local coffee shop, and I won't mention any specifics to that. But anyway, she had told me she was going off to Bethel Reading to the School of the Prophets. And she did. And she came back like the next year, and she had just the strangest spirit that you could see over her. It's like this weird, seductive spirit. And I don't know what they're doing over. Well, I have an idea what they're doing, but I don't know exactly what they're doing over at Bethel Reading. But let me tell you something. Those women they're producing over there, they're a little freaky. They got this weird seducing spirit about them. And let me tell you, it's a little slutty. And it's very, it's very strange. And it's more so than a Jezebel thing. It's strange. It just is. You know. Anyway, but it very odd. So anyway, but and I've noticed it with a number of those women. Bill Johnson's daughter-in-law talking about the Holy Ghost on the video that she was on. Talking about then another girl saying that the Holy Ghost or that Jesus visited her in her bed and was playing with her hair. And Bill Johnson, or this other guy, Chris Vallee, whatever his name is, we're going to get to this weirdo here, this Chris Vallee, he's an assistant pastor over there or something. That guy is a freak, man. He had his granddaughter-in-law, so not his granddaughter, but a woman that was married to his grandson. All right? He had a woman that was married to his grandson, and he did a video with her and was talking about how she was like not his wife, but if she was, he'd be a trophy wife. And it was perverted. Like, I can't imagine talking to any of our young ladies in our church like that. First of all, I'm not going to do any interviews like this with any young ladies in our church anyway. Because they're not going to be doing any, they're not going to be going to Hogwarts School of Magic. But you're going to hear the same thing. If you remember that video that I showed a few weeks ago, he did that to his granddaughter-in-law, right? Well, now you're going to hear this. Now, the reason that sparked this today was I was doing a little digging around, and I subscribe and pay like a couple bucks a month to Reformation Charlotte or The Dissenter or whatever it's called, and I get their articles without any of the advertisements and everything, and I like a lot of what they have to say. They got their ear to the ground. I don't agree with them on everything. I use the King James Bible, and I don't know what they use. But anyway, I think they're saved people. I think they love the Lord. I think they want to see good things happen to people in the Lord. And they're trying to do what they can to preserve the, you know, preserve the churches from apostasy. But anyway, they have a lot of good articles. And they had one on here. And this Marcia West lady did an article about some things that were going on over at Bethel. And I started looking at it. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll look at it. And she talked about how it was like a money-making machine over there. And I'm like, I wonder what they're talking about. And then they start getting into some really crazy stuff. Bethel Church in Reading has many ways to make a buck. They need to, as they've already broken ground on their brand new $96 million campus and apostolic training center. Bethel Church has over 90 ministries, and many have seemed only to exist to raise capital. We wrote about one yesterday where they interpret dreams for $125. They'll interpret your dreams for you. Now, we're going to get into some kind of weird stuff here today. Nothing too weird. Nothing that the Bible doesn't cover. And nothing that's overtly satanic. Right? Nothing overtly satanic, but it's all satanic, but nothing that's gonna unlock anything or, you know, defile anyone as far as that goes. But anyway, we discovered a new initiative, the Prophetic Lab. What's the Prophetic Lab? Well, this is. Now, you can search your King James Bible over and over. You'll never find a prophetic lab. I assure you of that. You'll never find Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry among the apostles or among them. Now, this prophetic lab practices numerology, practices divination, right? Kind of like Harry Potter's Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. So, that's what they're doing. I'm going to show you that you see this right here. Well, that's what they're doing. That's what's going on at that Bethel Church in Reading. That's exactly what's going on. And you better warn people if you hear them saying they're a part of this kooky crew, that you warn them that they not get involved with these people, but they run from these people. Because these people are witches. They are witches. Brian from Northern Ireland is over on Rumble. And there's not that many on Rumble right now. So we got to try to build that platform up. We got to figure out how to push the algorithm of that. We got to figure out how to get some folks in there, because I'm going to get kicked off of YouTube. It's just going to happen. And I'm not Jim Morrison. If I come up missing on YouTube, you won't find me writing poetry in Africa. You'll find me over on Rumble and sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley if you go over there. All right. Let me go back to where I was at. There we go. But anyway. We know that to be that to be true, what those folks are in over there, and we need to warn people. Now, we're going to do a bit of an exposé here today on this issue. And I'm going to explain some things to you. Never eat almonds before you do a broadcast, just so you know. Just don't do it. It's a bad idea. Now, my throat is doing way better. It's like almost, it is 100% healed, pretty much. But for some reason, I thought it would be a very good idea to grab a handful of almonds because I was hungry because I didn't eat any lunch. And that I would just grab that. And everything would be just hunky-dory if I did that. Well, that wasn't very smart. But anyway, I've never been accused of being smart anyway. So, this is the prophetic lab. And yes, it is creepy. Creepy, very creepy. Good deal over there. There's five watching over there on Rumble. And let's see. We got 30 watching on YouTube, five watching on Rumble. Good old Sermon Audio. Six watching over on Sermon Audio. Probably nobody on Facebook because nobody likes me there, I think. I'm going to change that to my personal page, though, and see if I get more traffic over there. But anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter. They all get hit on the... Here's a brand new course coming up. Are you ready? Bethel's got a brand new course. Come with us on the journey to learn the voice of God better individually or with a group at your own pace. Previously only available to the Signs and the Timeline Online Lab. Now you can get the same valuable content within our first e-course, Prophesy Your Year. That's right, Prophesy Your Year. Let me tell you, friend, I don't know what you're doing, but you need to prophesy your year. Are you ready? You're ready to prophesy your year? Well, these Christian witches, and I use that in parentheses, are going to tell you how you can prophesy your year.
Hey guys, I'm Lindsay, and welcome to the Prophetic Lab course, Prophesy Your Year. This lab is designed around hearing and seeing what God is saying to you in the season you are currently in and going into next.
Okay, well, the season that I'm in right now is in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And the season, my Bible takes care of every season, all seasons. The voice of God is found in the scriptures. The voice of God is found in the Word of God. If I want to know what God is saying to me, open the Bible. That's how God speaks to his children. You open the book. You don't read between the white things between the lines.
By the end of this lab, my hope is that you will walk away with your eyes peeled to find God in your everyday and throughout the year. I want you to gain a deeper understanding of how you hear his voice when it comes to timing and build your faith for prophesying, especially when we press into signs and you see what comes to pass.
Especially when we press into signs and whoa, look out. Here comes the voodoo, buddy. Here comes the master wizard right here. You're going to see the signs. That's what's going to happen to you. You're going to see it in your spaghetti. You're going to see it in your fried chicken. Looking for signs. Looking for signs and wonders in my spaghetti. I could do a redneck version of this real easy. Wouldn't it be fun? You act now. You will see signs in your chitlins. Right now, you will see them. You know them taters you got? Taters. Or like some people call them, potatoes. You can see them right there in your cornbread. That's right. Or in your beans. Listen to me. These people are bat crazy with devils.
Romans 12:6 instructs us to prophesy in accordance with our faith. So let's get started and build our faith muscles.
And then she's going to go ahead and show you that nothing she's saying is about faith, real Bible faith. Because what does the Bible say about faith? Now, faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Wait a minute. But you're going to see things with her. No, that's not Chainbreak. I can do a wonderful Southern accent. There are many different Southern accents. There are deep draw hillbilly accents. There are absolutely lighter Southern accents. I can do Southern accents very well. Thank you very much. I am very good at mimicking Southern accents. Very good. I will have you know that for sure. There are many different dialects to my hillbilly friends in the South, in the West, and all over the hillbilly fruited plain. No question about. Then maybe you've only been around Florida. Florida folks. Because if you've only been around those, I still maintain that I've never seen a cowboy from Florida. That's all I'm saying. When I think of Florida, palm trees. Cowboys are out west. Cowboys are in Texas, all right? Cowboys are in Wyoming. Florida, palm trees, funny shirts, all the whole nine yards. And by the way, I have been around. Sandy Hardy asked me, does mocking help you make your point? Yeah. Why, do you not like it, Sandy? Does it not appeal to you? Does my sarcasm not appeal to you? I feel like I've made somebody mad. Like I've upset somebody. Well, you can't win them all. Look how it goes. Chainbreak doesn't like my Southern accent. Even Micah, when he rebuked Satan, only said, I rebuke you. And even Elijah, when he was on the mountain, mocked the prophets of Baal. Let's be real. I'm not rebuking Satan. I'm rebuking ministers of unrighteousness. And by the way, who do you think you are coming on here telling me what I'm supposed to do? Who do you think you are, woman? Who do you think you are? Doesn't take long for that spirit to kind of creep in when you start talking about this, huh? Starts creeping in a little bit. Oh, it's time for me to rebuke the preacher now because he's getting ready to talk about this. And the feminism rises within me. Or that Jezebel spirit, if it's a man. It rises up and cannot handle that. Oh my goodness, don't do that. Don't actually be a man that has conviction. Don't actually be a man that stands up and says something very boldly and straight-faced. Don't do that. Cower in fear in the corner and apologize for everything you're going to say so people won't be so upset with you. Yeah, get a life. If you think I'm going to do that, you definitely are listening to the wrong person. And you are definitely wrong for trying to get in my face and tell me what I'm supposed to say. And if you don't like it, click, you can turn it. It's just the way it goes. If you think I'm backing off of something like that, if you think I'm gonna, when these devils are sending people to hell, they're stinking witches, and that's what they're doing. They're absolute witches deceiving people. Yeah, you know what's sad? That you came on here to try to correct me instead of saying, man, amen, preacher. I'm glad you're preaching against this heresy. I'm glad you're preaching against this stuff. But now you can play the passive-aggressive woman. This is the part I love. The passive-aggressive Jezebel spirit woman that goes like this. Oh, but I was just trying to tell you to be so kind, and now you're beating me up. You're such a mean, big, scary man. You shouldn't do that. Sorry, I've been around too long and been through too many of those. That's what I'm saying. I've been around too many women like that that do that. Sorry, don't get through. It just doesn't. It absolutely doesn't even faze me. Like, completely doesn't faze me when it comes to that. It has no meaning and bearing to me. Why? Because I've dealt with enough women like that, that your feminism is showing. That's what it is. Because you have absolutely zero biblical authority. Zero biblical authority to say what you're saying. Zero. I'm not preaching to the world. I'm preaching to Christians to warn them and to use it to warn others. And what I'm not here to do is have a lesson from some emotional woman that thinks they're going to come on here and tell me what I'm going to do. You'll find out you get no play with that here. You get none. None. I do not even remotely allow it. I won't. I absolutely won't. You're wrong and you should repent. You have no right to come on here and do what you just did. None whatsoever. Absolutely zero right to do what you did. If you have a problem with me, you're a woman, you send it to me in an email and you ask me a question or you talk to me like that. The last thing you do is come on here and tell me what to do. You don't do it. You don't do it. It's not your place. You're out of line. Big time out of line. And you know what? As far as anybody else not liking it, it don't bother me either because I've been through it. I've watched it. I know where it creeps up and comes from. Every time I talk about this, shroom, in they come, in they come. Anyway, back to this. Aqua Regia is a spiritual intelligence company that utilizes prophecy, word of knowledge, dream interpretations, strategic intercession, and discernment to unlock practical solutions in the professional and personal realm of those we serve. You see that? See it? This is what they're doing. But let's worry about the exact tone of the preacher using sarcasm. Let's worry about that. That's more important. Let me tell you, that's more important than you dealing with this topic. Well, I'll inform you of something. I'm not an encyclopedia or a computer program that just spits out facts to people in a monotone voice like the dry eyes guy. I'm not that guy. You can go find Brian Denlinger and all kinds of guys like that, and you can find people that just repeat facts, and they're everywhere. And they don't care. It don't matter. They just spit it all out. And yeah, you're right. They definitely don't do what I do. I agree 100%. And that's why they're all more popular than me, because I don't do that. So here you go. Aqua Regia. Look at this. This is what they're doing. Utilize prophecy, word of knowledge, dream interpretation, strategic intercession, and discernment to unlock practical solutions in the professional. They're witches. See, the way I look at it is, if a woman is bold enough to come on here and rebuke me, then she's going to be bold enough to hear a rebuke. That's the way I see it. That's the way I see it. Otherwise, don't do it. Keep your mouth shut. It ain't your place to do. Period. If that makes anybody mad, tough. It's just not your place. God's the one that does the correcting. And you know what? Men, and by the way, it isn't even a place for a man to do on this broadcast. If they don't want to listen to it, then they don't have to. That's the beauty about having Christian liberty. You don't have to. And you can tell everybody how much you hate me. And you can go off and tell everybody how much of a heretic I am, and how much of a misogynist I am, and how much of these other things I am. And I'm like, okay, well, that's normal. I hear it all the time. Great. It's like John the Baptist. I don't know what he was doing. Or like Jesus. When they came to Jesus and they said, hey, Herod wants to see you. And Jesus said, yeah, go tell that fox. You vipers, you generation of vipers. Anyway, so this is the satanic witches brew that they've brewed up there at Bethel. It is a money-making scheme, of course. Cloaked in scientific language, the prophetic lab is run by Lindsay Riemann, who is the founder of the spiritual intelligence company Aqua Regia and co-founder of the SQ Institute. The promo states that Riemann spent years under the mentorship of Bethel's prophetic director, Ben Armstrong, and has personally spearheaded the use of many of the practices taught during the lab. Chris Valentin, Bethel's lead prophet, teaches one of the classes. Protestia lists the lab's several components. The one that caught my eye was the prophetic reports. $2,200 or $2,750. That's a lot of money to pay for a profile report, said one from a demon. I mean, a prophet. Yeah, he ain't lying. You shouldn't use that sarcasm, though. What do you think you're doing using that sarcasm like that? What's the matter with you anyway? You don't need to use sarcasm like that. The Apostle Paul only used sarcasm, as we find in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians. He used it all over the place, all over when he dealt with people. But never mind that. We won't get into that. After the reading of Protestius' piece, I took a deep breath to calm my spirit. I've been reporting on Bethel Reading for over a decade, so nothing they conjure up surprises me anymore. But the thought of them charging people close to $3,000 to allegedly hear the Lord for an individual, a business, or city made me angry. Hearing the Lord's voice is accomplished how? Through a double-blind methodology, whatever that means. And they claim the prophetic company has no knowledge of the individual, business, or city recipient other than an identifier code. So people, by the way, that code is witchcraft. They're using witchcraft for that code. That's exactly what they're doing. Now, you saw the intro video. Now we're going to listen to this. But first, before we do that, we'll go to some scripture here. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee. Okay. The divination is the act of divining, foretelling future events, or discovering things secret or obscure by the aid of superior beings. The ancient, or by the other than human means. The ancient heathen philosophers divided divination into two kinds, natural and artificial. Artificial divination was effected by certain rites, experiments, or observations, or as by sacrifices, wine, observation of entrails, flight of birds. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, in other words, she's going to explain to you exactly how she's done this, how she developed this system. And it's witchcraft. It's what it is. It's full-blown witchcraft. So here you're going to have it. We're going to get to it here right now. And this lady's going to explain to you her system, her prophetic system, her spiritual intelligence, right? By the report.
Chris Belton here from Bethel Church in Redding, California, and I have Lindsay Ryman with me, and Lindsay is one of our prophets, one of our prophetic people, who's going to join me today. Thanks for coming.
Absolutely.
And by the way, she's single, so hey, just want to say that in case you're watching and, you know, and you're like, whoa, she's hot. So
do you see that? What kind of a pastor says that about a single young lady across the table from him? Right? And looks at her like that. Right? What kind of pastor does that? Who said, like, what? Why would your mindset be to vocalize that? It's weird. It comes from a perverted spirit.
Just want to say that in case. In case you're watching and, you know, and you're like, whoa, she's hot. So that'd be good.
She said, I'm fine with it. You see the perverseness? You see the perverseness in spirit? Before you even get started with it, you see the perverseness of spirit.
Lindsay.
Yes.
Thank you for being on a serious note.
Yes, absolutely.
You really are beautiful. And we're so.
Yeah, they're like, why would you say that again? That is just really, really perverted.
We're so excited for you to be here. We got School of Prophets coming up.
Yep.
You're going to teach in School of Prophets.
Yes, I am.
And that's going to be really exciting. You have a unique gift, a very unique gift. Not just in that you have the prophetic gift on your life, but you have this amazing ability to train and equip other people.
Thanks.
So before we get into that, like.
Yes.
So where does it say in the Bible that a woman is supposed to do that? You want me to show you what it says a woman is supposed to. If she is gifted, if she's a gifted woman, what she's to be doing? Let me show you. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged women be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's right. That's the spirit that it's supposed to be. That's what she's supposed to be doing. Which, in my opinion, she isn't even old enough to do in the first place. She hasn't been saved long enough, probably in the first. Well, she definitely hasn't been by her own admission. I don't even think she is saved. I don't think they know what salvation is there. They never talk about it.
Tell me your story. What? How did you discover your prophetic call? I'm checking my notes here to make sure I say it right. How did you actually come into your prophetic call?
Yeah, so I got saved in 2014. It's kind of a funny story. You'll have to buy Chris's masterclass to hear it. I crashed a Bethel missions trip as a non-believer.
Oh, I remember that now.
But I got shipped off to BSSM, where for the first time I was hearing.
I got shipped off to BSSM. It's like, it's the strangest. This is like, if you want to look at, you know what? Our church has been accused of being a cult, and most biblical churches get accused of being a sect or a cult. These people, the way they make it sound, the way that they talk is not scriptural. It has nothing to do with the Bible.
People use the term prophets or prophetic. I'd never heard that before. And it was in my second year of BSSM that I had a calling encounter. And here's what happened. I was at this woman's house, and I was in a living room. I was by myself, and there was this giant painting of a giraffe in front of me, right? So I'm sitting there.
This is getting good.
Okay, just wait. So it's going to get better.
I don't think I heard the story.
Okay, you haven't. So the presence of God comes in. And so that feels like a weighty presence starts to roll in. And I'm sitting there, and suddenly I hear the phrase, "What do you see?" Now.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so what do you see from a giraffe? So the presence of God came through the giraffe. That's what happened. There's a painting of a giraffe on the wall, and the presence of God came through, kind of like this.
Jessa share a dream that she had. And I'm going to tell you what God's been speaking to me about. And I believe it's the key that's going to release the greatest miracle anointing for the church.
You don't understand. It's going to release the greatest spiritual anointing ever. It's Hulkamania. And what you going to do, brother, when Hulkamania runs wild on you?
Jessa.
So a couple of nights ago, I had a dream where Oral Roberts was speaking to Todd. I didn't understand what they're saying, but I remember they were talking. And then he looked over and he saw me and he stopped. And he ran over to me and he put his hands over my eyes and he said, "What do you see?" And
What do you see? Oh, yeah. That's God doing that. What do you see? That's straight from Oral Roberts. God sent Oral Roberts to her dream. And this is the prophetic anointing. The music is played for the effects to get people in the mood.
So I looked and I didn't see anything at first, and then all of a sudden I saw this elephant racing across my eye, and Oral Roberts said, he put his hands over my eyes and said, "What do you see?" And I said, I didn't see anything at first, and then all of a sudden I saw this elephant racing across my eyes, and it was dancing, it was going crazy.
So, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm just curious, have you ever seen an elephant dance? What does that exactly look like, an elephant dancing? I start to think about that for a minute, and I'm like, what does an elephant dancing look like exactly? Like, is it doing like a nice little jig? Is it doing a waltz? What exactly is the little elephant doing?
Crazy. It had this big smile and it was just going crazy. And I said, "It's a wild elephant. I see a wild elephant." And then I said, what's with the elephant? He said, "Exactly. What is it with the elephant?"
He said, "Exactly. What is it with the elephant?" So nuts. So absolutely satanic.
And then I looked again, and in that vision, what was highlighted was the trunk of the elephant. I said, "It's the elephant nose." And he said, "Yes." And I said, "It's discernment." And he said, "Exactly." And then he says,
"Exactly." You know, that's what I was thinking. Because when I was thinking about elephants and their snouts, their big long trunks, their noses, I was thinking, you know, discernment.
"Do you see the lion?" And I closed my eyes again, and then I saw the lion, and the lion, it was just a golden lion, and I woke up.
Yeah, I bet you did see the lion. I bet you did see that lion. That's called the roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour.
And when I woke up, literally, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I just felt like the Lord was highlighting things to me about the dream. And in the dream, I thought it was pretty ironic that Oral Roberts put his hands, he covered my eyes and said, "What do you see?" And I thought that was interesting because he's covering my eyes. What do you see? And I felt like the Lord was saying that even more so now for the church today, we need to walk by faith and not by sight. What do you see? You know, I didn't see anything at first until I really looked and I pressed in, you know, and I saw the wild elephant. And so when the elephant came running in, and I said, what is it with it? So it's almost like, what's with walking by faith? How do you walk by faith and not by sight? By discerning the times and the seasons, just like the sons of Issachar, discerning. That's what gives you hope when you're walking through a hard time and you're, you know, walk by faith when everything around you looks dark and dim, is discerning the times and season by getting a hope from God. Getting...
Getting
a hope from God.
Hold on.
To be able to see, to discern the times and the seasons that's ahead of you.
Somebody fix the chip. I think it's malfunctioned.
And the thing about the elephant, it wasn't just an ordinary elephant. It was a wild elephant. A wild elephant. It was radical, 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 radical. And the elephant means a great impact. And I really felt like what happened in Lakeland was just the beginning. It's just an introductory. It's just an introduction. Just a table of contents of what's to come. Felt like the great impact is greater, greater, greater. It's the great impact. And the greatest impact that you can have is bringing the kingdom of God to earth. It's a
through a wild elephant.
Get an encounter of Jesus Christ to every single person.
You know where your encounter of Christ comes? It comes from the Bible. It comes from the Word of God. When you're in dark times, you look to the Scriptures. That's faith. Believing God means I take the Bible and I read the Word of God and I ask the Holy Spirit of God to guide me through things, to guide me and to teach me. The Holy Spirit of God will teach you all things whatsoever I have said unto you, whatsoever he will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Right? Not some elephant in a dream somewhere.
It's the greatest impact we can have. The great impact is the great revival. It's the great harvest. And it's going to be wild, wild. Oh, yeah. It's going to be much greater than it was before. Much greater. And the next thing.
So I don't know if you realize this, but she has literally spent almost 4 minutes saying absolutely nothing. This is one reason why women should not address the assembly. This is what Paul was talking about.
The last thing about the dream is once we as a church pray for revival and seek revival, that it becomes a lifestyle, just like Todd was saying, a lifestyle, not just something we contend for, we want, but a lifestyle that we live in a culture of revival, then boldness is released upon the church. And that was the lion. When he said, do you see the lion? Because we need the wild elephant first before we can get the lion.
Oh, you're going to get the lion, all right. I think the lion is all over you guys. I think he is all over you guys.
Then that's where the boldness of the church is released. Oh.
Sheka. My wife's got some wild fire.
Yeah, Sheka. She's got some wild fire. Eureka. She sure does.
In this moment, I want to be clear, it's not an audible voice. It is internal, but it's so...
Let me back up a little bit.
...in front of me, right? So I'm sitting there.
This is getting good.
Okay, just wait. So it's going to get better.
I don't think I heard the story.
Okay, you haven't. So the presence of God comes in, and so that feels...
So let me ask you a question. How does she know that this is the presence of God? How does she know that is the presence of God? What is she basing that off of? Because if you start having visions of God appear through giraffes, if you start having that, you better be concerned about that.
Feels like a weighty presence starts to roll in. And I'm sitting there and suddenly I hear the phrase, what do you see? Now, In this moment, I want to be clear, it's not an audible voice. It is internal, but it's so loud that I was like, what?
It's intense.
Yeah, I was like, did that just happen? Is that real? And so I'm kind of like in the confusion of it all. And then the voice insists again, this time being more like, what do you see? And so I'm sitting there and I'm staring.
I see a giraffe.
100%. That's what I went to say.
I was being funny.
Yeah. So my mouth, I'm about to be like, a giraffe. But instead, I hear myself singing. Now, here's the thing. This is
about to get really, really goofy. Okay? Really goofy. Okay. All right.
This is where it becomes sort of mystical and you're like, I don't know how to explain this except I am kind of having an out-of-body experience. I can hear myself singing a song, but I don't know what the song is. And let me tell you something. It is a very funny feeling to be singing a song and listening and not knowing what you're singing.
Okay, let me stop here and say, yeah, it is. You foolish witch. It is. You're not supposed to be doing that. That's not supposed to happen.
Actually singing a song, or
it's
is it
like
more
the
like
Holy Spirit
like,
is
or
singing,
like a vision?
Like the Holy Spirit is singing out of my mouth. But
okay, now wait till you hear the song that she says the Holy Spirit is singing. Hang on. This is the Holy Ghost of God we're supposed to be talking about here. God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God.
But you actually physically are singing a song.
Yeah, but I'm not in control.
You don't know.
She's not in control.
Exactly. I'm not in control of my body. So it's almost like I'm out here and I'm like, what is happening?
Body snatchers.
Right.
The Holy Spirit's the ultimate body snatcher.
Yeah.
Okay, stop for a second. Did you hear what that witch just said? And I'm talking about the one in black over there. The Holy Ghost is the ultimate body snatcher. You know, you talk about these alien abductions and the other things. Pastor Hoggard's covered that in extent. I'm not going to talk about that. But do you hear what she's saying? He's saying. He just attributed those snatchings to the Holy Ghost. And you're right, Andrea. She's possessed. And how does she know it's the Holy Spirit? Exactly. Exactly. Now wait till you see what she attributes to the Holy Ghost singing through her.
Totally.
So sci-fi. So anyways, so check this out. So I can tell.
She just said it's so sci-fi. Let me tell you something, friend. When you are near the presence of God, and it is God's holiness and righteousness, you aren't about to sing the song that she's talking about. And you aren't about to be glib about it. Many times the nearer God is to you, the more sober, the more broken, the more contrite, the more humble you are. You're not some giddy little teenage girl bopping around. Nowhere do you find that in the Bible at all, period. Nowhere.
Well, this is all happening fast and slow at the same time. And I'm like, I can tell that when we get to the chorus, I'm going to recognize the song. So my gift to everyone today is that I'm not going to sing the song, but I'm going to tell you that when what I said in a song version, but I'm going to speak it out.
In the chorus.
When the voice said, what do you see? I uncontrollably responded with, I see trees of green and red roses too.
Oh my gosh.
I see them bloom for me and for you, And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Wow. The Will...
Louis Armstrong
song. I should know this. Sorry. The Louis Armstrong song, yeah. Right? And so suddenly, and then all, it like stops, and then I'm like...
She just said, the Holy Ghost of God sang this guy's song, What a Wonderful World. Do you understand? This is what she is attributing her spiritual gift to. And this system. Do you get it? But now, preacher, just calm down. What do you get so excited for? Go back to being passive. Why don't you just be passive and soft and cushy and sweet and... Why don't you just do that?
Back in the real world, and I just start crying, and I'm like, what was that? And I'm like, so, and it was this profound, I went to some, a couple things happened I'm going to keep to myself, yeah. Right? But
I'm glad you're keeping them to yourself, because I don't want to know. Because I bet it's creepy.
I left that encounter like, what was that? Like, I was singing uncontrollably, and I was singing a Louis Armstrong song? Like, what does that even mean, right? So, a few days later, I'm in class at BSSM second year, and you're teaching.
And okay, so hang on. Before she gets this, let me say something to you. If somebody wants to be deceived, God will give them over, right? So the devil can give them any sign they want and his kingdom. Spirit, we are surrounded by devils. We are surrounded by an army of devils. There are evil spirits, false spirits, all over the place. And if you make known to them that you want signs and wonders, you'll get them. You'll get them. That's not faith. You'll get those signs and wonders. You will, I promise you. God will give you over to that delusion that they all... Look what the Bible says about that strong delusion. Watch this. Look at this. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned that believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Hang on a second. I got to turn my AC up a little bit, down a little bit, whatever you call it. But if you want that, you'll get it. If you want that type of spirit, you'll get it. If you want those signs and wonders, look what the Bible says. God will give you them. He'll allow them to give you those signs and lying wonders. Because you want them. And those devils are all too ready. Right? four times a lying spirit. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Man, if you want to be lied to, if you want lies and you don't want the truth, you'll get them. If your people searching for signs and wonders out there, oh, you'll get them. You'll get them.
You're teaching to us out of Jeremiah. And you start talking about
Jeremiah chapter 1.
Yes. You start talking about Jeremiah chapter 1, and you start saying, the Lord always trains his prophets by asking them, what do you see? And he talks about how he saw the almond tree. And yeah. I'm having this moment where I was like, he said that, wait, that, the Lord said that to me, right? And so there's this moment where I'm like, ding, 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 ding. And I'm like, is this what, Lord? And so then I started kind of, I had a moment with him later where he spoke to me and said, yes, I've called you to be a prophet. And he confirmed.
Yeah, because like that's all over the Bible where God calls women to go be prophets. Yeah, it's everywhere. You see it everywhere. Yeah, they're going to lay hands on people. They're going to develop gifts. They're going to start their own spiritual CIA. That's all. Yeah, that's all Bible. That's what God wants a woman to do with her life. Yep, that's what God wants her to do with her life. I called you to be a prophet. Total deception. But if you want it, you can have it. If you want to be totally deceived, you can have it. God will let you have it.
Confirmed it. And I thought that it was supposed to be a secret, because yeah. I didn't really know. But shortly after that, people suddenly, my whole life, no one ever said the P word to me. Yeah. Not one time. But after this experience, they started calling me out.
Right. After this experience, I had an experience. What about the Bible? What about faith in Christ? What about the moving of the Holy Ghost through the scriptures? What about the leading of God's Spirit? What about sanctification, righteousness, holiness, separation, godly fear? What about the role of a woman? What about the role of a lady? Right? What about the role of what God has called a woman to do? What about that?
Conference, and they were like, you're a prophet, you're called to do this. And I was like, oh no, they know the secret, right? I was still young in my journey. So that was the beginning of it. But how I stepped into my calling, which was like,
what did you do about it?
Right.
So you had this encounter.
Right.
You see a draft. The Lord's all like, what do you see?
Yeah. I start uncontrollably singing a Louis Armstrong song.
Yeah. This all sounds like a call of God from the scriptures, right? Yeah, that sounds like a call of God. No, lady, it sounds like your own emotional trip with some devils that gave you every single piece that you wanted, every single sign that you wanted. And God gave it to him. Every single one. She received every single one she wanted.
So I'm walking around with this revelation, right? But in this same time period, I'm having these dreams and encounters, and I don't really know what they mean until one day I'm in Ben Armstrong's advanced dream interpretation class, okay? And he's talking about
Ben Armstrong, not Louis Armstrong, not I think to myself, what a wonderful world, but Ben Armstrong's dream interpretation class. So the Bible, in the Bible, we find dream. Could anybody point me to the chapter of the dream interpretation class? Could somebody show me the dream interpretation class? Where's that at in the scriptures? the dream interpretation class.
About how we have this biblical model for trees representing kings and leaders.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is important to me because I had had these two open visions where I was just looking at trees, right? So all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute. This was like the penny drop moment.
Yeah.
I realized the open visions are pointing to Daniel. I started looking at some dreams that I was having. They're pointing to Daniel. Like I started having patterns. Like I, in second year, I'm so new to the faith. I thought I created my own fast. I was like, I'm not going to eat meat or cheese and or caffeine. I'm just going to fast. And they're like, Daniel fast. You're doing the Daniel fast. I was like, I am? I don't know. And so I was walking around with this like some, it's something about Daniel. Here's the embarrassing part. For 2 weeks, I'm unlocking this Daniel thing until one day I'm sitting at the light to turn left to go up the hill to Bethel. And the Holy Spirit was like, Lindsay, what is your middle name? And I was like, oh, my middle name's Danielle.
And that's— oh, that's it. And because my middle name's Danielle, then because of that, and I was doing a Daniel fast, because of that, I'm called to be a prophetess and use the book of Daniel as my guide. No, lady, you're a witch. You're a witch. You're a witch. That's what you are. That's plain and simple. That's what you are.
That was the moment wow. where I was like, oh, and guess who else's middle name is Danielle? Oh, sorry, Daniel.
Whose?
Louis Armstrong.
Did you hear that? Louis Armstrong's middle name is Daniel. Wow. If Louis Armstrong's middle name is Daniel, and when I think to myself, what a wonderful world, and out of the giraffe came the presence of God, and my middle name is Danielle, then, of course, I'm supposed to develop a system of prophecy out of the book of Daniel. Yeah, that's witchcraft. That's divination. That's, you're going to see it's numerology. Because she uses numerology. Witchcraft, numerology. And that's how I know I'm called. Really? Well, first of all, everything that you do should not come from outward signs of manifestation of signs. Everything that you and I do, like I'm preaching through understanding the will of God, is to know the will of God, is to do the will of God. Right? Not to seek signs and wonders. I do not believe that there is any evidence that God has called a group of people in this time frame to do visions and dreams. I absolutely 100% do not believe that. Can God use a dream? Sure, he can. Right? Sure he can. Oh, Elizabeth, I absolutely agree with you 100% about that. That man right there, I really don't want to say publicly what I believe that man uses. But yeah, I agree. I'm pretty sure it's in the Bible that prophecies and visions, they cease. and that we're not to depend on them. We're to depend on the Bible, the Word of God. And you know what? You know what happens? And I'm not picking on you, Void X, but let me just make a general statement here. Let me say this very plainly. The Bible is too boring for these people. They don't want to follow the scriptures. They don't want to obey the Great Commission. They don't want to follow the Word of God. They don't want to live their lives in holiness and separation and righteousness and godly fear. They don't want to be a wife and a mother. They don't want to be a father and a husband. They don't want to do those things. They want to chase around some spiritual gift that takes them out of their responsibilities. That's what they want to do. They want, I'll tell you something right now. Why don't these jokers start by following the Bible? Start by obeying what God says in His Word. They aren't even in spiritual kindergarten yet. And they're out there trying to fly around and have visions and dreams and all these other things, yet they absolutely ignore the authority of the scriptures. And then they take their dreams and their visions and they try to trump the Bible with them. Why? Because the Christian life is too dull for them. Well, let me tell you something. They ain't going to heaven either, because the Christian life is all about Jesus Christ, and they're not going to like heaven either. They ain't going to want to go there. But that's what these people do. They can't even follow the will of God in the scriptures, yet they have super spiritual magical powers to do all these other things. Yet these same people aren't disciplined enough to follow the scriptures. Here's another accusation against me. You use a lot of examples of witches to dismiss the scriptures. I'm not dismissing any scriptures. I live and die by those scriptures. I'm not dismissing any Bible. At all, period. I just rightly divide it.
That's his middle name?
That's his middle name. So suddenly I'm like, it's a Daniel call. Okay, so we're figuring this out, right? I love the Lord connecting dots and clues. Wow. That's what I do at Prophetic Lab. And so that.
So where in the Bible does it say there's a Daniel clue or there's a Daniel call? Where in the Bible does it say? There's a Daniel call. Doesn't.
Is what sent me on my journey, and that's how my prophetic call
came
to be.
And that means that you have to only eat vegetables from now on.
Okay, no, not always.
Although, middle name is Anthony. I hope that means meat.
That means meat, and that means fried chicken. Bless God, bless you.
So good.
No, I still eat chicken nuggets. That's so.
So that's a wild story.
Yes.
Okay, so now you've progressed. You've been walking with the Lord a while,
yes,
and you had your own journey of learning and growing like we all have.
Yeah.
And you've had this passion to take your encounters and your journey and the way the Lord really is raising you up. And it's like, okay, how do I help other people? So you, yes, started these things called prophetic labs. You oversee prophetic labs.
Yes.
Well, first of all, probably most people, including me a year and a half ago, wouldn't, yeah, even know what a prophetic lab is.
Yes.
So before we talk about anything else, let's talk about, what is a prophetic lab? How did they start? And what are you doing with them?
Yeah. So the prophetic, we call it the prophetic lab.
Yeah.
But we press into not just prophecy, but also words of knowledge, discerning spirits, words of wisdom, and probably the other spiritual gifts that we don't have names for.
Like we just call like spiritual intelligence.
Exactly. Spiritual intelligence. Yeah. Exactly. So I created the prophetic lab to basically R&D what is possible with the mind of Christ.
Research and development.
Yep.
Lab being laboratory.
Correct.
So just making sure everybody,
yes,
everybody,
exactly,
who's watching gets the vibe.
Yes, yes. Also, I believe strongly in the part of scripture where it says we prophesy in part and, yeah, we see in part, right? Yeah. So I'm really interested in teams. I think there's a reason movies like The Avengers, The X-Men, like all these movies are big because I'm telling you, like, we're in the time of team, right?
Yeah, so the reason why the X-Men and Marvel Comics is big and Marvel movies and DC, because we're into the time of teams. God is going along with the age of the spirit because we're in the time of teams. So then, you know, so like, you know, the X-Men are big because, you know, because that, and that's what I'm supposed to be doing. That's my prophetic calling. That's why I'm doing it. This is so nonsensical.
Got it. Yeah.
So then I like to
team ministry
work with teams, and I do lots of experiments where I'll be like, okay, we're all going to get a word for this person, but I'm not going to tell you who it is. And then
we're all going to get a word for this person. Right? We're all going to get a word for this person. Joel 2:28 was fulfilled at Pentecost. That's what was going on at Pentecost. The signs and wonders were for Israel. They're not for the Lord's church. Every time you see those signs and wonders being employed or tongues being spoken, you see a Jew present. It was for the Jews because the Jews seek a sign. That's what it was for every time. Look it up. Anyway, I'm not going to get into an argument about sign gifts because it just takes away with what I'm doing. I've taught enough on sign gifts, and I have no problem doing it again.
And we'll see how they like.
Well, you have a really bad interpretation of that verse.
Connect and pattern
out. Okay, well,
out.
Let's stop there, okay?
Let's stop.
Back up. We often call this like a double-blind kind of
double-blind methodology. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that is where you have a person or a place or whatever it is you're prophesying over.
Yeah.
You as the leader, you know who that person is, right?
Yes.
But you don't tell the rest of the team.
Correct.
And then you're like, okay, we're going to prophesy over this person. Let's call them number 77.
Yep.
And you're all going to prophesy over a person. Maybe you tell them if it's a male or female or something.
Yep.
But they have no idea who this person is.
Correct.
And then they begin to prophesy over this person that the Lord, Holy Spirit knows.
Yeah.
But they don't know.
Correct.
Right? So, yes. So sift through that for me.
Yeah. So I started doing that because one, Daniel served some really complicated kings, right?
Now I'm getting where this came from.
Okay, yeah. So, like, how did Daniel love those kings, right?
Yeah.
And we, even in the church, we are so divided in our political leanings and what we think we know about people from the media. Sometimes filters can come into play. And I was really interested in finding out, what does God think about these people? And I'm going to...
Okay, she was really interested to find out what God thinks about these people. So then now what she's going to do is do this secret divination. And she's going to have these people prophesy over people they don't know. And they're going to prophesy great things over people they don't know, right? And they're going to prophesy all this stuff. That's how they're going to do it. Well, guess what? I have a King James Bible. And if I want to know what God thinks about somebody, I use the absolute standard of truth, the King James Bible. That's what I do. This is my authority for faith and practice, not prophesying. So I take my Bible and I find out, well, what does God think about that person? Well, I know what God thinks about that person. By what the scriptures say. That's all I have to know. That's how God judges that person. I don't go anywhere. I don't try to prophesy over him in secret so somebody doesn't know it's Donald Trump or somebody doesn't know it's Joe Biden because they might prophesy bad. Well, wouldn't that mean that their prophecy wasn't true then? See, she's taking Daniel not knowing what the prophecy was She's taking that dance, and then she's applying that to a design of a prophetic gift that she's supposed to administer to other people and have other people do. Well, Daniel didn't invent that. Nebuchadnezzar did, you ding dong. Nebuchadnezzar's the tyrant that wanted to kill everybody, that says, if you don't tell me what my dream, the interpretation of my dream, I'm going to kill you all. That's because he was a tyrant. That's not a good thing. That's not a way for you to develop a prophetic system. But that's what they do. That's not biblical. That's not a design of a prophetic that you're supposed to practice in a prophetic way to practice.
Like in the world, like yeah. The kings of the world. Yeah. So I would try to bypass their filters by not telling them who we're prophesying over. Like if I said, we're going to prophesy over Donald Trump and Joe Biden, the room would split.
Yeah.
But if I'm like, we're going to prophesy over male 19 and male 20.
Yeah.
Really interesting what comes out when I bypass some of those leanings.
Right. And what that tells you is you're full of beans, because if the Holy Ghost of God was the one that was prophesying through you, you dingbat, then the message would be the same, because God knows who the man is. If the gift is from the Holy Ghost, then he's the one that does it, not you. You're just a vessel or a tool to be used of God. Do you see how asinine this is? What is it? It's demonic.
Yeah, and I see where you're talking about, like in the book of Daniel, for those of you that are maybe thinking, like, is there any precedence for this in the Bible? Well, there are several.
You know, for those of you that are actually thinking, I mean, you got any Bible for this? No. No. She doesn't.
In the book of Daniel, it's very interesting because Nebuchadnezzar, the king he's serving, has a dream. And instead of going to, you know, all the wise men saying, here's my dream, someone tell me about it, right?
Yes.
He's like, I had a dream. I'm not even going to tell you what the dream is. And then I want you to tell me my dream. Then I want you to tell me my interpretation. I want you to tell me the interpretation, right?
Yeah.
So this is that kind of Daniel thing.
Daniel, yes.
Right? Because it's like, well, tell me the dream. And they're all like, tell me the dream and I'll give you interpretation. He's like, if you can tell me the dream, I know you'll know the interpretation.
Right.
Which Daniel ultimately does and kind of saves the wise men, right?
Exactly. It is the Daniel 2 method is what has inspired everything that I'm doing.
Okay. That's cool. So you got inspired by Nebuchadnezzar wanting to kill people. This is a classic example of a deceived woman doing something she has no biblical authority to do, that is based out of her own lustful desires. She got given over to her lustful desires. She got what she wanted. It has nothing to do with Bible. Zero to do with the scriptures. No scriptural explanation for what she's doing. A total twist. There's no exegesis there. There is no following down of the scriptures. There is no explanation. I don't dismiss the Holy Ghost work today. I live by the Holy Ghost work today. The Holy Ghost work today is my sanctification, is my strength and my comfort and my guidance and my might for the fight. You want to know where the might for the fight comes? You know what causes me to be able to get up every day and do the will of God and preach the word of God? You know what does that? You know what gives me the hope and the strength and the courage to continue on and to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life? You know what does that? You know what does that? It's the Holy, you know who does that? It's the power of the Holy Ghost of God. That's who does it. Let me show you. I'll teach you something. Watch. Let me show you where it comes from, right? You ready to see it? Ephesians chapter 3. Man, I'm going to run out of time, but that's okay. I'll just keep going. Look at what Paul says. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Watch for it. Strengthened with all, with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened with might. Right there. That's how God strengthens his children, through the Holy Spirit of God, to do the will of God. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Right? Here it is. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Might for the fight comes from God, comes from the Holy Ghost directly. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's how, right there. That's what the Holy Ghost does. I don't dismiss his ministry. I live by it. Somebody asked me, got any Bible for it ending with John? I am not going to change this broadcast into a broadcast of cessationism versus continualism. I'm not going to do that right now. I have my face set like a flint to finish this broadcast, and that's what I'm doing. Plain and simple. And I'm getting all the pushback in the world for a reason. And I'm marching on.
Cool. And yeah. Do you have any stories out of that lab? Do you have anything that you did that worked well?
Out of which one? I have so many different.
Let's give us one story where you gave your team a number.
Yeah.
Da da da. All the process. They prophesied over them, and you gave that person the person you numbered those prophecies. And they're like, oh my gosh, how did they know me, kind of thing.
Oh, one of the... Yeah. So we want to move into talking about the reports?
Yeah, just the reports.
Okay.
Oh, okay, then you create a report, right?
Yeah, so first we were talking about labs and experiments, of which I do many kinds. We also do seeing experiments. I put, training up Elishas and all that kind of stuff.
Right, I train up people to see visions. I train them up to see things. Again... They're going to prophesy unto them false things. And they're going to have a false dream and a false vision. And that's what they're going to have. Because that's what they want. And because they want it, God's going to give it to them. God's going to let them have it. And that's what's happening. That is exactly what's happening with this.
But something that we do often is this thing called the prophetic report.
Yes, it comes out of that lab, though, right?
Correct, yeah. Yes. So the prophetic report is a collection of prophetic words put together.
Look, like I said, I'm not going to discuss those tongues gifts. I'm not going to discuss that right now. We're not going to turn this broadcast into that. We're not doing that. And that's what Pentecostals want to do. They want to try to take over my stream. And I'm telling you, I will cut you off of this thing. And I don't care if you say, I don't care. I don't care either. I'm finishing this. You're not going to interrupt this.
In a highly stylized format it kind of looks like a spiritual Narnia book meets the President's Daily Brief. Like, that's my vibe, okay? Beauty and...
Who talks like, that's my vibe?
Excellent.
I like your description.
Yeah. So...
Gone. I told you to stop. I told you to stop, but you didn't stop, so you're gone.
Here's how reports are made, right? I get a group of people to prophesy. We call them reporters because they're reporting from heaven. Right?
Got it. Okay.
Okay. And sometimes, and they prophesy through written word, and I use a form. So they're okay. Not, they don't know what each other are prophesying.
Okay.
Sometimes they're not in the same room.
Okay.
Sometimes they're not even the same city. Sometimes they're not even the same country.
Got it.
And yet they'll start saying the same thing.
And the information they got is a male or a female, and you just gave them a number. Right?
Exactly.
Just as we described a few minutes ago.
That's it. That's it. I put a demand. It's like a big, I leave a lot of room for God to show up.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
A huge, it's a risk.
Yeah.
And so when the patterns emerge,
yeah.
This is like an unbiased signal that the yeah. Lord is speaking. I have
yeah.
seen some of the most bizarre patterns
yeah.
happen, and it's really fun. But so this is what happens. The intel comes in, right?
Yeah.
And we look at the intel, and then it goes to the prophetic editor. So
yeah.
Here's what a prophetic editor does. They read the words. We do everything in Google. So like in yeah. Google Drive, they'll flag me if they're like, hey, this word, I don't know if this feels that honoring or if something feels off about it. So then we'll go back to the reporter, and we're like, hey, let's press into this word more. This is beautiful. Is there a way that you can say this? So that it's honoring to a king.
Yeah.
Because we want all of our words to leave people yeah. feeling yeah. encouraged, exhorted, and edified, right?
Yeah.
So that's just good language training.
Yeah.
So basically, do you think that's what John the Baptist did when he looked at Herod and he said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife? When John the Baptist was a prophet and he looked out and he looked over at the Pharisees and the Sadducees and he looked over at them and he said, you generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Does that sound like that? Does that sound like that's what Jesus did? Does that sound like what happened? No, they're making it up.
After that, it goes to a copy editor who makes sure that we're doing good grammar, right?
Yeah.
We're representing the king,
yeah.
So excellence is important.
Yeah.
After this is the fun part, or at least to me, it goes to the trackers. So the trackers are my team of people. They operate in two ways. They're very analytical. They're like yeah. prophetic analysts.
Yeah.
But they're also discerners. So they will first go through... And they will pull out all the themes and patterns, and they'll pull out the key words and things they feel
yeah,
weighed on.
Got it.
Then I have this one girl, her name's Erin, one of the most, you know, you ever meet some people
yeah.
that just make you uncomfortable
yeah.
with their gift? She makes me uncomfortable. So she like goes through the report and she's like, where is truth? And she'll pull stuff out and be like, I feel so much truth on these things.
Yeah.
I feel so much truth. Really? Sometimes I feel like a big fat turd. Sometimes I feel like a bowl of dookie that's been put in the oven too long and it's burnt dookie. Sometimes I feel like roadkill. Sometimes I feel like a big gas ball ready to explode. What in the world does truth, what in the world does your feelings have to do with truth? Nothing. 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 She just based truth on the feelings of what once some woman said truth was. I feel, where is the truth? I feel truth right here. Really? Because I don't feel truth. I see truth right here. I see absolute truth in my Bible. I don't feel truth. I see truth. Sometimes I feel very bad things. It doesn't matter how you feel about truth. It matters what is truth. And that this is truth. And if this is truth, then you follow truth. God didn't leave truth up to you to decide. No, he gave an absolute standard of truth in the Bible. And by the way, somebody said this person's given Pentecostals a bad name. No, this person is describing the absolute end of the Pentecostal movement. That's what they are. Plain and simple.
Yeah. And then she'll look at them and tie them together into a prophetic interpretation.
Wow.
Her accuracy on this is phenomenal.
Wow.
Yeah. In fact, like, we had an opportunity to do a report for Bill once, right?
Yeah.
And in her, she doesn't know it's Bill. It's just a code name. She pulls these things out and she theorizes, just like Bill Johnson, you are called to blah, blah, blah. She like quotes Bill to
totally.
Bill. This is great. These kind of things are priceless. So that's really fun. What comes through that. After it goes through the trackers, it then goes to the weaver. So the trackers are in the details of the report. You should do this with your prophetic words, too.
Yeah, this is great.
You need to know the details. But then it goes to the weaver. The weaver then looks at the whole report, and they're like, from a 10,000-foot view, they write a one-page executive summary. Here's what we're seeing overall.
So good.
So when you get a prophetic...
How is this even good? How is this so good? And then it goes to the weaver. Gotcha. Like the dream weaver? Like the song says, the dream weaver?
Word, you need to hold all the details, but you also need to hold the 10,000-foot view and put them in tension and find where the Lord is in it.
That is beautiful. You did one.
You know, the interesting thing is that when I open my Bible, I don't have to wonder if the Lord is in it. I know the Lord is in it. Like I open my Bible and I know these are the words of the Lord. Right?
For me.
I did do one for you. I didn't know if you want to talk about
they
it.
They didn't know it was me.
They did
just
not.
Gave my number. And I was
do you
like,
want to tell them your code name?
I forget. What was it? 007 or
no,
something?
No, it was 1122 because K is the 11th number and V is 22. So wow.
Okay, stop there. What is she talking about? Well, this is what she's talking about. Arithmancy. Numerology. It's the correct term for divination using numerology. Numerology is when you assign special significance to numbers, but arithmancy is when you add up the numbers in a date, word, etc., and interpret the number you get. Essentially, arithmancy is what you do when you put numerology to use. However, most diviners use the phrase interchangeably. That's what she's doing. By the way, this is at divinationandfortunetelling.com. That's what she's doing. She's practicing numerology. That's what she's doing. You get it? That's what she's doing. That's what she's doing. These numbers are not, by the way, biblical numbers, like how the Bible defines numbers, because the Bible defines numbers as well. What she's teaching is witchcraft. This is what she is teaching. This is what you have to understand. That's what she's teaching. That's because she's a witch.
Which was, those are kind of some prophetic numbers right there.
They're 1122.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 1122. I think of you at 1122 all the time.
Well, there was a ton of stuff in there that was amazing.
I think of you at 1122 all the time. Okay, thanks.
You know, I was involved in a piece of property and purchase, and they're like, there's a piece of property you're supposed to purchase. It's along the river.
I'm like eight people were talking about land in a building. I couldn't believe it.
And then they also talked about a men's movement. You're a part of a men's movement. You're gonna get a. You're gonna take a get a stadium. It's gonna be in 2021 or 2022, right? And it's like we're in the middle of, you know, starting Braveco. We're getting. We just did a stadium event. You know, just right. So it was like, oh, this stuff's amazing. You know.
Yeah.
And again, it would be amazing if I got the word they knew who I was.
Yeah.
It was amazing. They had no idea. They didn't know anything about me. So
it built your faith, right?
Yeah, totally.
Is that supposed to build my faith? Let me ask you a question. Do signs and wonders build faith? No. No. It's the trying of your faith that worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Signs and wonders don't build people's faith. An adulterous generation seeketh a sign. She's saying, oh, these signs and wonders, did it build your faith? Obedience builds your faith. God uses obedience to his word and to his will.
One thing I want to say is I don't want people to think that you have to be blind all the time, but I think what we're doing is we're building faith.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's my question I have here is, what does it look like to investigate and interpret prophetic words?
Yes.
What's that look like to you?
Okay, so here's how I learned how to do this. So in the beginning, in the early days, when I did prophetic reports, they were just prophetic words.
Yeah.
That's it. Ta-da! Here's three prophetic words. But I kept feeling that there was something, because the...
Again, I just kept feeling... Not thus saith the Lord. Here's the difference in a Pentecostal and a Baptist. Baptists, if they're a biblical one, the Bible is their rule of faith and practice. This is what they follow. A Pentecostal follows what they feel. That's what they do.
The Lord gave me the word report, and I felt like there was something that was supposed to, there was something more.
Yeah.
So one day I'm like innocently sitting there and I'm like, okay, what am I dealing with? Information. Who does information reports? I think I Googled who does information reports, right? And the CIA popped up and I was like,
wow.
Oh, right. So I go to their, click on their website. They have one, CIA.gov. And as soon as I click on their website, the presence of God floods the room. And here's what that feels like.
Oh, so I'm like, I Googled the CIA. And when I Googled the CIA, a flood of God's presence came upon me. So far, in everything wicked, a flood of God's presence has come upon them. Louis Armstrong song. Flood of God's presence. The CIA, the most wicked organization in the world. Flood of God's presence came upon her. And model yourself after this. Well, what is the CIA modeled after? The Jesuit order. All the special forces are modeled after the Jesuit order. All of them are. The SS, Hitler's SS, was modeled after the Jesuit order.
Like, it feels like weighted wind is coming at me.
Wow.
And it's it's coming at me so hard that I can't keep my eyes open, right? I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, he's going to tell me a CIA secret. I was like, he's going to tell me who shot Kennedy or something, right?
Totally.
Okay, so the encounter ends. Just to be clear, he didn't tell me, CIA, I know none of your secrets. Yeah. He didn't tell me anything, right?
Totally.
So I'm sitting there, the encounter's over, and I'm like, wait, why did that just happen? And the Holy Spirit was like, what is the CIA? And I was like, Central Intelligence. And he's like, what are you doing? And that's when I was like, oh, spiritual intelligence. And so that was the moment that that was in 2017 that I was like, I'm doing spiritual intelligence.
I was like, yeah, I'm doing like spiritual intelligence. This is the ditziest thing.
So then I was like, all right, well, what do the intelligence guys do? And so I discovered one of their information processing or intelligence processing methods.
Wow.
Which is collect, analyze, evaluate, disseminate. So check this out.
Wow.
So this is
Insight Gaming asks a question. How come the Gentiles spoke in tongues? As a sign to the Jews, because there were still Jews present all the way through until God was finished with that. Now, I'm not going to get into arguments about tongue speaking on this broadcast. I just said that. If you can't have that much respect, it's because you got the same spirit as these witches, and you can't respect anybody. When this is being exposed, it means you have the same spirit. That's what's wrong with you. You have no respect. Get some respect.
This is how, and I want to tell you who are listening, do this with your prophetic words. First is the task of collection. Collect all of your heaven intelligence.
Carl is not going to answer the question because it's my thread. It's my stream. Yes, you are a troll, and you need to go away.
Right? CIA has to work with terrorism and like hard stuff, but we get to work with stuff from God. This is even more fun. Get all of your words in one place. Transcribe them. This is important.
Yeah.
Because when it's written down, you'll notice things that you missed before.
Not just record. Yeah.
Yeah.
I answered the question already. I answered it already. I'm not going to answer it again. But you see that Jezebel charismatic spirit, they can't stop. They just can't stop. They can't control themselves. They just can't.
Analyze is the method that I kind of just walked you through, but you pull out identity, you pull out gift and skills, you synthesize all the foretelling in one page, because I heard someone once say, what you believe about the end affects how you behave in the middle.
Totally.
He said it.
That was my quote.
That's his quote, right? But that's actually important, because if you're like, this is my calling, like how am I moving towards that?
Totally.
Right? And then we pull out actionable intel. Like, how can I partner with these words? So that's analyze, right? So we've done collect, analyze, evaluate. So evaluate, this is biblical. You need to now look at this information and be like, judge it.
Yeah.
And bring.
Isn't this system funny? She's developed an entire system off the CIA and off of radical giraffes and off of her middle name being Daniel. And off Nebuchadnezzar's beastly interpretation. Think about this for a second. Everything that she has based this off of is absolutely satanic.
Wise counsel to judge it with you.
Yep.
And then where you feel the Lord on it, you need to decide what is now and evaluate what is later. Because once you know what is for now, then you know how to partner with it.
So good.
And then we go into disseminate.
One of my favorite stories I heard several years ago, a friend of mine got a prophetic word for a large tech company. Now, this is...
Yeah, now watch this, because he's going to speak in code, and what he's speaking is numerology. Remember when I showed you this about arithmancy? That's what he is going to do. That's what he's going to tell you his friend did. That's what he's going to tell you. Here's another example. This. Here's a Wicca, Spirituality with Aaron Dragonsong, a new Wicca for a new world. Look at this. Numerology divination, the meaning of your name and birth date, right? Numerology divination. See? She's teaching this. That's what she's doing. And that's what this guy is going to say right now. That's what this guy is going to talk about. Watch this. Cracking the code. That code is numerology. That's what the witches do. It's Kabbalistic. It's from the Kabbalah. That's what they're doing. It's Kabbalistic magic. Numerical Kabbalism. That's what it is.
Probably 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah.
And so through a series of trial and error, he finally got the opportunity to meet with the CEO, which he had never met. And the Lord gave him this number, this code. Like, he didn't know what it meant, but it was like, you know, 12 CB, like long.
Yeah.
Almost like you would have now to get into someone's Wi-Fi when they code it, right?
Yeah.
But he didn't know what it meant. But he said... The Lord told him, when you see the CEO, give him the code before you give him the word.
Yeah.
So he goes in the room, and there's like the CEO is real nervous. He doesn't know what the guy's there for, what he wants, and so he's got like 6 or 8 guys in the room with him, you know. And so he goes, well, before I give you this information I got from the Lord, I'm supposed to give you this code. So he gives the guy the code, and instantly they call security. They lock down the room, they cuff him, they take him into an interrogation room, and it turns out that the code was the code that they were using to keep a brand new invention that they've been working on for years secret.
Oh my gosh.
And he didn't know the secret thing they were building.
Yeah.
He just knew the secret code that they all used to get into to get the information, all the guys are working on it.
Wow.
So they lock down the room, they cuff him, they arrest him.
Oh my gosh.
They bring in security. He's in a room for 3 hours while they're like, and where did you get this code? And he's like, honestly, God just told me this code. They're like, no, where did you get this code? And they think he's like a spy, like a Russian spy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, it takes him hours. It's like 3 hours of just interrogating him before they kind of like, well, maybe the guy is some sort of a prophet, you know?
Yeah.
And then finally he gets to give the CEO this information, this amazing story. But that's one of the first times I'd ever heard of anything like that, you know, where you get in, you tell us, God gives you this information, and it's pretty, pretty wild.
It feels like he's in the season of creating code breakers in a way.
Code breakers.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. It's a time of interpretation. And also, why did the Lord do that?
It's a time of code breaking. Really? Where's the Bible say that? Doesn't. She's making it up. But that code breaking, that's part of arithmancy. That's part of numerology. That's part of it. That's what it is.
Exactly.
Like, is he like trying to signal that maybe we're going into a time of spiritual intelligence? I don't know.
I wrote a book called Spiritual Intelligence. Great place to land the plane. What are you looking for in the School of the Prophets coming up in August? What are you looking forward to?
What am I looking forward to? Well, I love School of the Prophets. I'm looking forward to What I love what you guys have done with it now is that you've started the essentials.
Yeah.
So that way we can hear what you and Dano are thinking about right now.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part.
So. Yeah. And what Lindsay's saying is we used to spend three and a half days of the 5 days teaching the basics.
Yeah.
And then we're like, hey, how about this? When someone signs up for the School of the Prophets, why don't we teach all the essentials online?
Okay, so basically they're training witches. Okay, so that's Bethel Readings. That's what they're charging for. This is the lab, the online prophetic lab. Join us or join the wait list, right? Online labs, the prophetic report, signs of the timelines, the prophetic lab, right? Claim your spot. Honing your ability to hear God's voice for yourselves, others, and solutions through prophetic training, experiments, and team exercises, participants will grow in confidence and their prophetic ability. See, they sell all these classes that you can take. Make no mistake about it. What they're doing is divination, numerology. They're talking about the future. They're predicting the future. And they're using familiar spirits. The Bible warns us of those familiar spirits. Bible warns us of those. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. A man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. Now, that was the Old Testament law. That's what God said. Deuteronomy 18:11, or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits or a wizard or a necromancer. Samuel dealt with Saul dealt with the familiar spirits. Right? Exactly what they were. Saul dealt with the witch at Endor. God didn't create witches. They were not created by God. People were created by God. Whatever sin they gravitate towards, whatever sin they get in, has nothing to do with what of God. God didn't create witches. By the way, if you go back and listen to my broadcast on the founding of the Pentecostal movement, you will see more than ever that it was founded by a bunch of fakes that had familiar spirits. That's the whole Pentecostal movement. So, anyway, there you have it. That's Bethel's numerology. That's Bethel's school of wizardry. That's what they're doing. That's what they're teaching people. That's the dangers that are there. The Bible says that we're to avoid those things. We're to stay away from those things. We're to stay away from those people that promote those things. That it's witchcraft. That is a strange concept. What do you mean, right? So they came into existence, but all devil worshipers come into existence. They're born into this world. They're sinners. Witches are sinners. That's what they are. They're sinners that chose witchcraft. The Bible says that stubbornness is as wickedness and idolatry. That's right, Rachel. Back to Bethel, we won't go. Bethel Reading, that's right. So, in other words, if you understand that, then rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. The witch at Endor, that's what she was. And Saul sought her out. A witch is not a demon. Show me one verse in the Bible that says a witch is a demon. You didn't get that from the Bible. I don't know where you're getting your theology at, but it ain't from that book. And you better turn from that idolatry that you're following, and you better follow the Word of God. And that is a sharp warning not to play games. You're playing games. You don't even know it. They're not supernatural. They're human, and they're possessed by devils. Just like those with familiar spirits in the Bible. Same exact thing. Anyway, so we had all kinds of charismatics come on here today. All kinds. Boy, they wanted to stop that, didn't they? They didn't want the truth out there. The truth is that God hates that. God hates those spirits. That spirit, God hates that deceiving and seducing spirits. Now the spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That woman, yeah, she has a spirit of divination. She was given over to it because she wanted it. She got what she wanted. Follow the Bible. Follow the scriptures. Don't follow anything else. The Bible defines what a witch is. You follow what the Bible says, not your own perverse thinking. That's what's wrong with Pentecostals. They follow what they feel and extra-biblical things. Follow what the Word of God says. And then you won't be deceived by devils. The scriptures say very plainly what those things are. Anyway, anybody can be delivered from those devils or from anything else by turning to Jesus Christ and repenting and believing the gospel. Jesus Christ is well able to deliver these people. But the gospel of Bethel is not the gospel of the Bible. They preach a false gospel, and let them be accursed. There's a warning there to repent and to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ before it's too late. That the Bible has the answer. The Word of God has the answer. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If the Lord be God, then follow him. Jesus Christ is able to break anything like that. He is well able to save them. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. And then when you get saved by the grace of God, you'll follow the scriptures. You know what? I've had women come in and out of this church, and I firmly believe they wanted to follow their feelings and not the Bible. And they did just that. And they told me how much of a gift of discernment they had. And now they're not in church. They're off by themselves into Spookyville land, following their own discernment. God help them to repent and believe the gospel. All right, everybody. Pray for our ministry. Pray for OPBC. We'll see you back here, Lord willing, on Friday. Pray for our ministry. If you want to support our ministry, pray for us, number one. Number two, you can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com or pastorcooley@icloud.com, or you can mail us something at the bottom of the screen. People give at Apple Pay, cryptocurrencies, all kinds of different cash apps and all kinds of different things. If you want to give to our ministry, feel free to. If you don't want to, that's fine too. Pray for us. Or if you're not able to, pray for us. Pray for us anyway. You ought to be praying for us. Amen? Please make sure you do that. Make sure you're in prayer for us. All right, everybody, I got to go. I got to get out of here. But God bless you all. I'll be preaching tonight, 7:45 p.m. Central Time. on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley for our evening service tonight. So if you can make that, if you can listen to that online, go ahead. If not, they'll be online tomorrow or the next day. God bless you all. Take care.